Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have another special guest. He's one of the hosts of a fellow Broadway Podcast Network show called The Broadway Husbands. He's the Broadway life coach. You may have seen him on Broadway in Wicked or Little Mermaid or on your big screen in The Wolf of Wall Street. But most importantly, he's been in two different productions of Cats, and that's why he's here today. So Brett Shuford, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I am excited to hear about both of your productions. But before we get into your experience with the show, I want to hear about your experience with the show before you were in them. So how did Cats play a part in your musical theater experience? Was it something you saw as a kid, or is it something you picked up on later in life?
Funny that you ask. The national tour, I didn't really know Cats except for like David Letterman. You know, because then I don't know if you remember, David Letterman used to go over to the Winter Garden and have the Cats come do stuff at his theater. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but you should, David Letterman.
You should YouTube it, because he used to go pick on that, because the theater was like really close to his theater. And also the Flash Dancers, the adult strip club that was like across the street as well. He used to go pick on both of those venues. And then also there was that show. It was a sitcom called Caroline something from the 90s, and her roommate was
Clarissa Explains It All.
No.
Okay.
And I think it had Caroline sitcom. It's going to kill me. What was it called? Caroline in the City. Do you remember that sitcom?
I do not remember that sitcom.
And it starred, what's her name from Back to the Future? God, my brain is not working. It's Friday. What's her name from Back to the Future that was like the love interest in Back to the Future? Anyway, she had her roommate was in Cats. And so I remember those two things specifically about Cats. And I'd never seen the show until like... whatever 20th national tour came to my hometown of Orange, Texas for two nights. And my parents got me front row seats. And I actually know a couple of people who are on that tour now. They're actually friends of mine. But at the time I was 15 or 14. And I was just mesmerized by the dancing and the lighting and the costumes. And I remember one of the things that happened to that, I had this very vivid dream of being in the show. Like, it was a very vivid. I remember waking up and being like, I had a dream. I was in Cats last night.
Which cat were you in that dream?
I don't even know. Cause when you see the show the first time, you don't know who's who. Like, nobody's anybody. It's just,
I still don't know who's who half the time.
It's a blur. You know, I was somebody in a unitard crawling around on stage, but it was cool.
That's awesome. And so then you kind of go on and you originally get to become a swing in the Westchester Broadway show. What was the theater here?
Yeah, the Westchester Broadway Dinner Theater, which...
Dinner Theater, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They actually had the... I think they had the first licensing rights of the production right after it closed. At least that's what they had told us. Whether that's true, I don't know.
That was the marketing line.
So we ended up... I ended up getting cast. And the reason why I say that is because it was set by... the resident choreographer and the resident music director both set that production. And I was a swing. I covered Monkey Strap. I covered Skimbleshanks. And I covered like Alonzo. And I think one other track, I can't remember who it was. And then I was a pit, you know, one of the pit singers.
Okay. So what I'm always interested about is when you're, especially as a swing, what were you told about the characters? Like when you were like, taking them on, like, were you given backstories? Were you given, like, 2016, they were given three words for each cat, but what were you told at the Westchester Broadway Dinner Theater about how to portray each character?
Well, they don't really break it down into characters as much as they break it down as a tribe, right? So it all starts with you being a tribe and everyone's sort of crawling around. And then when you start learning the numbers is when they explain relationships within the numbers, which doesn't mean that's consistent throughout the show. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I mean, definitely.
So they'll be like, you know, this person is this to you in this song, but then like three songs later, they're nobody to you. Like it doesn't make sense in that way. Because it's poems, you know, it's weird.
Well, it's a very loose plot kind of pulled together with a couple different
I guess poems. I will tell you, okay, I'll tell you. You know, McCavity, they would tell you, is like the leader of the group. He sort of helps comfort everyone and bring, you know, sort of direction to the evening.
That's got to be Old Deuteronomy, not McCavity.
Sorry, I didn't mean McCavity. I meant Monkey Strap.
Monkey Strap. Okay. Narrator.
Sort of,
yeah.
The narrator, he sort of like helps bring comfort to everyone and protect everyone from McCavity. I think that's why I was thinking of
McCavity. Yeah.
You know, he helps kind of be the sort of, the leader of the group.
Okay. So you were given, so you're not given a lot going in. Did, with it being a dinner theater, did they alter the menu to be cats themed?
No, this place is so budget. It's like, I think they serve the same thing every night. I know the dessert was always the same. It was a peaches Melba.
What a missed opportunity.
We would be killing ourselves on this thrust stage, doing the Jellicle ball, dying, panting, and then we da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da and land, and somebody would just be sitting there eating a peach Melba.
Did Bustopher Jones, whoever played this in this theater, go out and actually eat off of someone's plate in the crowd?
I don't remember him doing that, but that's a brilliant idea. I think he did walk through the house, but I think they tried to keep food away from him.
Okay. And how long was your run there?
They always do kind of long runs. I think they always do like 3 month runs, or I mean, it's, they're pretty long, and you commute from the city up to Westchester. Two show days are really long there, but I was right out of college. I mean, I just got my equity card and was so excited to do Cats, 'cause I'd had that dream when I was, you know, 15. But I ended up leaving early because I ended up booking another gig, and I ended up leaving that contract. But I did go on for Monkey Strap, I think twice, actually.
So then how long was it before your second run at the, was it the Walnut Street Theater as Skimbleshanks? Yeah. How long between the two?
So that was like 2002, I guess, at Westchester. And then 2004 was Walnut Street. So about 2 years later.
And what were you told anything different there now that you're Skimbleshanks? You got, you know, you're not playing multiple characters. You got your one role. How much backstory did you kind of come up with in your own mind for this?
Well, you know, you actually get most of the backstory from the cast, because with Cats being what it is and the amount of material movement wise you have to learn, they always bring people in who've done the show before, and they'll tell you like, this is who I, Jenny Anydots is this to this person. And so you get a lot of it from the cast, and then stuff that I had remembered from doing it before. So I'm trying to remember, but you know, I will say this. Cats is one of those shows you learn from the outside in. A lot of shows you learn from the inside out. Like, here's why we're telling the story. Cats, you learn the movement, you learn the music, and then slowly you start to figure things out in between. And I feel like there was just like, it's hard to explain how you learn backstory when they're just trying to teach you, like, you're going to paw here and you're going to jump there, you know?
So it's interesting you say it that way, because that's the way I feel like it was written, which is like someone decided they were a DJ and wrote all the songs and had a couple like really great dance ideas. And like, oh, but none of this makes sense. So let's add a little bit of an arc here to try to tie this together. And it's loose. And so I feel like that I'm not surprised they taught it to you that way, because I think I've thought more about which cats are related to other cats than the actual people that created the show.
Well, you can't. I mean, it's just, you kind of have to make sense of it when you're doing it. Otherwise, why are you doing it? You know, so everyone just kind of makes sense of it as they go. And then they teach you that, like, hey, this is why I crossed stage right at that moment. It's because I was made a decision that that's a person. And you're like, OK, I guess I'll do that, too. And now I'm Monkestrap.
I love how little thought it seems like went into this versus what the super fans and everyone else has clearly like really thought about. And it seems very obvious that all of those fan rumors and everything that's out there is just that, from fans and not from actual. We thought that Old Deuteronomy is the father of this particular cat, and this one's definitely owned by the landlord and all these other pieces. I think it's so much up for interpretation that when you're in the dinner theater, it's just like, just go out there and dance. Like, don't worry about the rest of it.
Yeah, but the fans are what make things shine, you know? I mean, I remember, I'm a huge Disney nerd, right? And like, you go to Disneyland and go to Haunted Mansion and it's a super fun experience, but people will tell you this whole storyline about how the Haunted Mansion is run by this guy, Mr. Gracie, and the names of the ghosts are this. And then, like, Disney never did that. That's all the fans. Like, but fans are like, die hard, they will make that work. And I feel like it's the same thing with cats. It's like, it's so much more fun to do it for those people who are invested in you than the people eating the peach melba.
Yeah. People there for dinner, the ones that brought their kids and have no interest in seeing it. So how much, as you know, you've been very successful in a lot of different shows and been on Broadway, and how much is this cat's influence, not just you, but like the Broadway community? Like, it's definitely one of the longest running shows, and it's got all of this kind of this fame and history and the butt end of a lot of jokes. But from an artistic standpoint, like, what does having that on your resume kind of do for you as a performer?
Well, I think that I think what makes Cats so brilliant is Gillian Lynn's choreography. And personally, she really is the heart of that show. And so I think if you have Cats on your resume, I think Gillian Lynn, rest her soul, I got to work with her in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang as well, was a genius. And I think having that on your resume as a movement, as a dancer and a storyteller and a theater person, that says a lot about your ability to be a dancer and your ability to tell a story while dancing. I think that, you know, I also think that the Andrew Lloyd Webber, Cameron Mackintosh, like that world, just like Disney on Broadway, there's like a little family in there, and there's people who I worked on those shows with who still run that organization that I still stay in touch with. And you kind of become a part of that little network and that little family of people. And to me, that's what makes Broadway so special, is the community.
Yeah. So I felt, you can feel that the more I've been kind of in this little realm of my part of this community, you can definitely feel that. But is it amplified with Cats, or is it just, you know, part of the Broadway, you know, it's just part of the Broadway community?
I think it's just a separate, it's its own little experience. I mean, anytime you talk to someone who's done Cats, you can literally go, oh my God, you did Cats. Who were you? Did you do that part where this happened? And did you, you know, oh my God. And like, it's just like, if you do a Chorus Line, it's the same thing. Like, I've done a Chorus Line like 5 times and I've played somebody else. And so my relationship to when I played Bobby to Sheila, anyone I meet who's played Sheila, I'm like, I was Bobby. And she's like, oh my God. And no one watching the show would know what that means. But for us having done it, it's the same experience. One of the things I will say about Cats that I think I share with every single person I ever meet who's done the show is how good our bodies looked when we did that show. Because you're just so active. I mean, I was snatched when I did that show.
When I left the first time I saw it, it was one of the things I like thought about was that looked like a workout.
Yeah.
Like an extreme workout.
I was in such good shape because you're using every part of your body and your stamina for singing while you're doing all that dancing. It's amazing. It's a great workout.
Non-stop too. I mean, just
I think that should be a workout. The Cats, get your Cat's Body or Cat's Body workout or something like that.
I'm sure someone's doing dance numbers from there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So I want to ask you, and I don't know how much you'll remember from this, but I usually like to go into the rumor mill of your characters. So I have not talked a ton about Skimbleshanks besides the episode I did on him. And so I'm curious if I, as you're learning it from the, what is it, from the outside in, do any of these rumors hold merit with your productions? So the The first one is that there's a relationship with Jenny Annie Dots.
I've always thought of Skimbleshanks as gay.
Okay.
So what I remember is his relationship with Jenny Annie Dots was more like sibling, because they're both like tabby cats.
Brother, sister. That would make sense, but then that would ruin this. Well, no, it wouldn't. Is that your Rumpelteazer's uncle? That's the other rumor that's out there.
Yeah, he was the uncles of the kittens. I remember that being.
Okay, so that was given to you.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, we're sort of the uncles of the kittens, and it wasn't just Rumpel. It was like, what was the one who sings Moonlight? Not again. The other like little bitty, the kittens, he's like the uncle of both of them. And it was constantly like trying to get them to stop playing and trying to get them to stop goofing around.
Okay. So that holds some merit then. The other one is that there's the, which would support your argument, is that there is some relationship with Tucker.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see how that, I mean, maybe, but I not in not that was not told to me, and that was not something I ever played, because I always thought of Tugger and like Skimble's such a nice and neat and like orderly cat that I don't think he'd ever want to hang out with Tugger. I think I always remember him being kind of annoyed by Tugger because Tugger was so rambunctious.
That's the opposites attract type of mindset, though. I think that's where that kind of comes from.
Yeah, I mean, it's a choice. That's not a choice I made.
there's a lot of options here. And, you know, once you start really tying them together, it's like, well, they all can't be true, because then there'd be too many cross paths here.
Where are the lyrics that support this? That's what I want.
Oh, there's no lyrics supporting almost anything that I've argued. The lyrics don't help most of my cases.
Okay.
But I want to know a little bit. So again, my frame of reference is just the 2016 production, which I saw it twice, and the 1998 movie, and nothing else. I guess the new movie, if you want to count that. So I vividly remember the Skimble Shanks performance the first time I saw it, because at first I'm like, this is incredible. They're building a train. I was like, this is awesome. Then the light at the top of the train gets pointed out to the audience and decided to point it right at me. And I was like blinded for a second. And I was sitting there going like, why did they just shine a giant light directly at me as it's moving as part of the song? So I almost walked out a little angry at Skimble Shanks' song. But now I'm like envisioning somebody in the audience at that dinner theater, and you're at the, someone's at the, I don't forget who it is, whether it's Mephistopheles or Monkey Trap or somebody's at the top, and all of a sudden they point the light out, and now someone's just eating their dessert. Did you build, like, was that part of your number in the dinner theater?
Mm-hmm. Building the train.
Did you point definitely a light out to the crowd?
No, because I never went on for Skimble at the dinner theater.
Okay.
I did Skimble at Walnut, but I don't remember the light ever going out into the audience. I remember it going sort of at an angle, but you know, cats are mean, and cats are, I'll tell you that. Can I just tell you, this is totally kind of off topic, but that, like, being a cat in the audience, because you know, when they have to go through the audience, right?
Yeah. And scare the life out of children.
Right. So there's those things, but then also, like, people would, I remember we were collecting for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, and I'm standing in my Skimble costume in the lobby with a bucket, and people were like, can I pet you?
That's a little one awkward.
One lady asked, can I touch your butt? I was like, I mean,
you said it yourself, you were in peak shape.
Well, I was, but I was like, I remember saying, no, I'm not a real cat. No. I'm not a real cat. Like, I'm a person. Like,
yeah. The petting is weird. That's the whole thing. That whole thing is weird, but I'm sure it's like, it happens probably all the time.
Oh, I mean, if you're out in the lobby, you're just kind of asking for it. But like, I remember that, you know, you go and you shine the lights with the, at the beginning, and so we liked picking on the audience. So maybe somebody just wanted to pick on you at that performance of Cats.
It could have been. I was definitely, I had to have had a dumbfounded look on my face the entire time, but I wasn't on the aisle, and I'm kind of glad, because I was not prepared for the green eyes at the beginning with the cats in the audience. I was actually really impressed by the set. When I walked in, that I was spending so much time like looking around all the different things that set, and then all of a sudden lights went off and there's a cat right to my right. And I was just like so thankful there were two people in between me and the aisle, because I was not prepared for that experience. So I want to do a little rapid fire, and then I do want to talk my thesis of your take on Grizabella being the choice. But I want to go through a couple things with the with the show. So you've played a handful of different cats, but if there's one that you could, they're going to go back on Broadway, which track would you want to be doing full time?
Monkish Trap. I like to play Monkish that.
Okay. What's your favorite and least favorite cat?
Oh God. Alonzo. Why? Like, he's probably my least favorite. And my favorite cat, I think I really love Jenny Anydots.
Yeah, great. It's a great number, and the tap dance is really impressive. It's always kind of, it's one I think I underappreciated when I saw it, and then as I've watched more, I'm like, this is good. Not the movie version, the musical version.
Yes, correct.
Favorite song?
I mean, you can't go wrong with Memory. It's classic.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only one I knew going in. If you were quarantined with one of the cats, which one?
Probably Mephistopheles.
Yeah, I think that's the clear answer. Right? There's a couple you could argue,
but he can make anything out of anything. So
exactly, and magic all day. And then, okay, this one I have to explain. But I learned that there's a thing called Cat's Tumblr from a fan who's part of it, and it's like it's super interesting and super cool, like of the way Cats lives on beyond, you know, the theater. But they have interactions as if they're writing the character outside of Cats, but as the character. So different, you know, different scenes. So if you could write a character, if you were going to take over a character and take them out of the Cats universe, but into the real world, and you were writing as the scenes and having interactions with other cats, which one would you want to write?
Carico Pat.
Ooh, why? Just random choice.
Because Carico Pat is not a fully fleshed out character, like doesn't get a full real experience in the show and deserves it.
So you would be telling the story for the first time, the untold mm-hmm. story.
Untold story.
Okay, that's interesting. I always stick with McCavity there because I would want to just be able to do and break every law and kind of, I think it'd be fun to write that character of just not having to follow any rules and directions and just being kind of the antagonist the entire time.
I like that.
Okay, so now the $1 million question. I've argued that I don't think Grizabella is the right choice to die at the end of the musical. And so I'm curious, do you agree with me? And if you agree with me, who would you choose? And if you want to defend Grizabella, give me the defense of Grizabella in your eyes.
I would probably say I agree with you. I feel like Gus should go
Team
up
Gus,
to the lair.
Right? Such a obvious, I think, defense for Gus.
Yeah. I mean, he's earned it. He was Fire for Fiddle, the fiend of the fell. I mean, he's ready.
Yeah. I agree. Does it bother you as much as it bothers me that Grizabella wins?
No.
Clearly not.
No, but I will. Can I just tell you, there's a story that somebody I did the show with who had done it on Broadway told me about how they would prep to do Green Eyes before the show, and you could hear the audience right from where they were, and that there was these, I don't know if you've heard the story, and if somebody's told you the story, you can delete it.
I don't think I have.
That there were these two ladies, old ladies, New York ladies, sitting in the front row, and they could hear them before the show. And she says to her friend, "Have you seen this show before?" And her friend says, "No." She goes, "Oh, it's so good. There's all these cats, and they go to this party. And at the end of the party, they take this old cat and they blow her through the roof."
Such a simplified explanation of, like, just so simple. I mean, that's hard. I mean, how could you not join her for that?
Right. I really so would be like, they blow her through the roof.
That is phenomenal. That is, you know, honestly, it is one of the cleanest and clearest explanations of the show I've heard.
That's it. And then you can start the show now. There you go.
Yeah, you can start the show. I mean, and that's the elevator pitch. That's the hook. It's like, hey, why do you want to go see it? Big party, blow her through the roof. We're done.
Let's go home.
That's amazing. So tell me about the Broadway Life Coach.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I work on the side as I'm certified life coach. And of course, since the pandemic, so many of the people in our community are really struggling to figure out what's next. And it's become a huge project of mine to help people during this time. So I started a Broadway Life Coach Facebook group where we offer what I call Broadway life support to help people get through this time. So if anybody is looking for some support and some coaching, come check out BroadwayLifeCoach.com.
Amazing. And how else can we find you on the social medias?
Oh, I'm on all the socials. You can come find me on social media, on Instagram, on YouTube, on Facebook at Brett Shuford. It's Brett with one T, Shuford.
Amazing. It's great when they're all the same. Makes it so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me, indulging these cats conversations.
I love
reminiscing about the dinner theater. I'm sure you're craving that dessert, ready to go.
Peach Melba. I should make it like a YouTube video about making a peach Melba.
Yeah, you're ready to go. Thanks for listening to this episode with Brett Shuford on The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the cat's catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Wrong Cat Died, or check out our website, thewrongcatdied.com.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.